The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Kieran Cuff, the former Green Party MEP, is with me to place his favourite read up on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. Kieran, thanks a million for coming in to us.
Not at all. Good to be with you.
So, I mean, before we get into it, we were just speaking before the ad break there. I mean, people might assume, given you're no longer a sitting politician, that you put the feet up and politics has been left behind you, but absolutely not. You're very much involved in the European Green movement.
No, absolutely. I became the what is called the co-chair of the European Greens last December. So it's been a whirlwind of a 6 months helping out the European Greens, essentially trying to help Green parties in different countries, both within the European Union and without, to keep the Green flag flying. And while we had a tough election, both the national election and European election here in Ireland, we're doing okay around Europe. We went from 70 down to 50 members of the European Parliament. So it wasn't a good result, but it wasn't disastrous either. But I was just saying to you, I was over in Budapest at the Pride March there, which was as much about democracy and Viktor Orban as it was about LGBTQI plus issues. So it does vary a bit around Europe. In the Western Balkans, it's about tackling corruption, what they call rule of law, which you kind of find hard to get your head around here in Ireland, because for the most part, we do have laws that rule the roost. But you have a lot of lawlessness and corruption in parts of Europe, and quite often the Green voice is the strongest voice out there challenging that.
And you know, in somewhere like Denmark, where you're the main opposition party, what are the challenges then in becoming a broader church, which I guess you have to do when you find yourself as the main opposition party, or ultimately, they would hope, a main government party?
Yeah, I think to embrace the issues that are really important to people. So Pia, our party leader, SF, our sister party there, has been very vocal on pensions reform, where the government is raising pension age and getting rid of public holidays, actually, as well. So it's very easy to be in opposition and say, bring back the public holiday and don't raise the pension age. But we're putting forward the financial plans for how you can do that as well. And I think as many countries in Europe move to not just the right, but to the far right, we are a voice of sanity on the centre left, talking about the importance of the state, about health, about education, about the things that matter to people.
Well, on the European front, Donald Trump in the last few minutes, he says we're probably 2 days off from sending the EU a letter. And I just want you to know, a letter means a deal. So anyway, that's what he said in the last few minutes.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows what that means? It depends what side of the bed.
Who knows whether he sticks to the spirit of the letter? Who knows whether it is an actual deal, or whether it's a bit of a deal, or the possibility of a deal again?
You know, one of the crazy things about Europe, and the reason why Europe works, is that there's an element of certainty to what we do. And having spent 5 years in the European Parliament, making laws can be agonizingly slow, but there's an air of certainty about what will come out. Albeit, though, tomorrow there's a vote of confidence in Ursula von der Leyen and her cabinet. I suspect von der Leyen will be still the president of the European Commission on Thursday evening.
Yeah.
And I think
her reputation certainly damaged in...
Oh, absolutely. And here, obviously, there's a big focus on the Middle East. And she has unashamedly taken the side of Israel and ignored so many of the human rights issues there.
Well, listen, to matters at hand, which is why you're here, what book are you putting up on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf?
You know, I kind of went at this with my own conviction.
Okay.
And I could have said, look, here's this really... crowd-pleasing book that everybody will know and I identify with it. But it's a book I read a couple of years ago by a German author, Andrea Wolf. And it's about a guy called Alexander von Humboldt. And the book is called The Invention of Nature, Alexander von Humboldt's New World. Who was Alexander von Humboldt? He was a German, Prussian naturalist and explorer, and he lived in the late 1700s, early 1800s. And he went on this remarkable journey to South America. And in what he recorded down there, he basically discovered the environment and nature. And he started sketching the plants, the rocks, the geology, the way the plant life changed as you went up the side of a volcano and as the tropical forest changed from one type of plant at the bottom to ice and tundra at the top. And I'm taking out, of course, because this is radio, I have a picture to show you.
Okay.
But it's a picture of a mountain that he climbed, I think, in Venezuela. And you can see his kind of copperplate handwriting there, that he was painstakingly recording the animals and the plants that he discovered at different heights. And he climbed that mountain up to 20,000 feet, which was unheard of 300 years ago. And he recorded what he found. He was originally trained as a miner. He went to a school of mines, so he knew a lot about geology.
Yeah.
But as time went on, he became a real polymath. And what Andrea Wolf, this fantastic author, discovered was how he really was the father of ecology in his travels. And he spent 6 years, 5.5 years, he kind of inveigled himself into the Spanish king, who put forward the money for the ship to go to South America. And off he went. He wrote to colleagues. His first stop was in Tenerife, and he climbed a volcano there and recorded what he found. And
Mount Teide is the volcano in Tenerife.
Teide, exactly. That was the one he went up. But then he got to South America and he saw a lake there, Lake Valencia, where the water level was falling. And really, he discovered the idea of human-induced climate change, because the population there had cut down the trees, so they had removed the woodlands, moderating influence on temperature, the shade, the evaporation and the radiation, and the water levels had fallen. So hundreds of years before mankind changed the climate globally, he saw how it happened at a local level. So he could be seen as one of the very early people talking about climate change. But, you know, no sooner was he done with this, he went up to North America. He went up to the White House and met Jefferson. And Jefferson, he showed him his mammoth teeth. He had gathered some mammoth teeth. So he was a bit of a showman, you know, crowd-pleasing stuff. Jefferson said to him, look, we've just bought this place called Louisiana, but we're not quite sure about the geography of it. So Humboldt wrote him a report, a two-page report. This is the geography of Louisiana. I can tell you all about it. So he was really good at communicating science. And I think that's as important now as it was 300 years ago.
And how good is Andrea Wolf at communicating it? Is it an accessible book, or is it for people who are into geology and ecology and this type of thing?
I'm not that deep a reader. I found it fascinating.
Okay.
And I think I found it fascinating because in the world of politics that I spend a lot of time in, I often have to talk about facts, figures, IPCC reports, and immediately your eyes are glazing over. So if you're communicating climate change, whether it be with a farmer or with a city dweller, you have to talk about the impact it's going to have.
Mm.
And farmers know that the rainfall is changing. You're getting downpours in the summer, and then you're getting drought, so the fertilizer isn't being absorbed. Once you start talking about it in the terms that people understand, it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
But Van Humboldt, not only did he kind of come back from South America and North America, but then he headed off to Russia and he did a 10,000-mile trek all the way across to Siberia 300 years ago. And there was a pandemic, there was a plague as he went along. So he didn't go into the villages, but he met people at a distance back then. The last thing I'd say about him, there are more species named after Humboldt than any other human being. Penguins, beetles, ocean currents, mountains. He does have a legacy, and he's just a fantastic person.
Well, listen, it's a unique recommendation. We haven't had it before. The Invention of Nature, Alexander von Humboldt's New World, and it is written, that biography, by Andrea Wolf. So pride of place on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. We always allow honourable mention of something else, because it's hard to pick one book.
Bringing you right back home and bringing you down a bit is Katrina O'Sullivan's book, Poor, I read 2 years ago. Look, I'm sure many of your readers are familiar with it. Dr. Katrina O'Sullivan, she's a senior lecturer in digital skills in the Department of Psychology in Maynooth, and she's published papers on gender and class and education. How do you get people into education and retain them? But the other side to her is an extraordinary childhood in poverty and addiction. She became a mum at 15. She was a drug user. She came from a very dysfunctional family background, both in Coventry and here, right in the heart of the North Inner City near the Five Lamps. And she writes about that and she bears all, which I think is a very courageous thing to do. And the book made a real impression on me. She writes in the book that this book is meant to get under your skin. And it does. And certainly for me, it exposes my privilege. And I think it makes me check my privilege every time I talk about anything on radio or elsewhere. And having been a counsellor in both the North and South Inner City over the last 30 years, you are exposed to a lot of issues and challenges. And sometimes you have to spend a lot more time listening than telling. Mm. And I think Katrina O'Sullivan really, really brought that home for me.
Yeah, definitely worthy of an honourable mention. Poor, it is a great, great story, despite the subject matter, by Katrina O'Sullivan.
And education. She talks about good teachers, which is, I think all of us have the experience.
And no surprise, and when you read the book, she's working in education. What's the last book you read?
Oh, I'm not finished, but bear with me, because the book is five volumes long. It's a biography of Lyndon Johnson, who was a president of the United States from 1964, when Kennedy died, up to 68. And it is a five-volume trilogy called The Years of Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson is from the Hill Country. The Hill Country has been in the news over the last few days because of the tragic drownings of, I think, almost 100 people in Texas. And Lyndon Johnson grew up in poverty in the middle of Texas, in a very godforsaken place called the Hill Country, where the floods can take away the farmland that you've painstakingly claimed back. And you're there under the hot Texas sun. And Lyndon Johnson grew up in that. And he recognized the poverty that he had grown up in, and he wanted to escape that. But he also wanted to improve the lot of the people living there. And a lot of them were Mexican immigrants. In fact, he spent a year teaching in a school right on the border. So he understood disadvantage and poverty. Nonetheless, he played the power game. And by the time he was elected as a congressman, but then he was elected to the Senate, did he get there by fair means? No, there was evidence of ballot box stuffing and paying for votes, which was common enough back then. And there was a famous court case that he stopped just as it was about to throw out a lot of votes that went his way. The third volume of the five volume set, Master of the Senate, was about how he controlled the US Senate. And I think that's as relevant today as it was then. He got people to report back to him what was going on each committee. He told people how to vote. He could speed up the votes by rotating his hand because he knew he had the numbers in the room, or he could slow it down and tell the clerk, I want this vote to take 2 hours. So an amazing character. But what's even more amazing is the author, Robert Caro, who is still with us. He's 90 years old this year, and he hasn't finished writing the fifth volume, final volume. So unless I just hope, he writes about a book every 10, 15 years. So I hope he gets to the end of it, because I really want to know what happened in those years when he was president, when he thought he had this extraordinary opportunity, and he did advance civil rights in the US.
Yes.
But by the time he left office, the crowds were on the street saying, Hey, LBJ, how many kids did you kill today?
Because Vietnam
was killing 50,000 Americans, along with millions or hundreds of thousands of civilians.
Well, maybe in a future iteration of this slot, the completed five-volume series will get placed on the bookshelf. The Invention of Nature, Alexander von Humboldt's New World by Andrea Wolf, up on the bookshelf by former Green Party MEP Kieran Cuff. Kieran, thanks a million.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.